Amen. For the glory of Christ. That's why we're here. Amen. That's why we've gathered together. I was listening from the back and music was great. But you know, it wasn't about us enjoying music. It was about glorifying Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I want to offer you this. If you don't get anything else from the message today, I want you to get this. Jesus is the answer. Does not matter what problem you face and how big you think your problem is, Jesus is the answer. And I want to begin on that note. It's all about Jesus, because Jesus is the answer to everything. And I invite your attention to the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life that you paid for upon the cross of Calvary. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't earn it. We thank you that we don't work for it. We thank you, Lord, that it is a gift given from you that can only be received by grace through faith. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Now we pray your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is the last message of this series of Liberty versus Legalism. And so to begin with today, I want to remind you of the difference between Christian liberty and Christian legalism. Legalism is when we serve or we work to gain God's acceptance. That's legalism. Liberty is when we serve or we work because we have been accepted by God. And we, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, you have been accepted in the Beloved. And so our goal through this series of messages is to bring each of us to the point where we're not trying to impress God with what we're doing, or we're not trying for God to accept us because of what we're doing, but rather that we're serving the Lord for His honor and for His glory because He has already made us accepted. And we began today, we're going to cover three things. We began today with the show. Number one, that Paul was talking about in verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 11, or verse 12, says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. As many as desire to make a good show. You know literally what that means. If you went to the Greek and you translated it, it literally means just exactly what it says. It means that there were people in Paul's day who wanted to make a good show of their religion. Wanted people to look at them and say, wow, they're awesome. Did you see all the people that they've won over to their Jewish system? Do you see their numbers? They must be doing something right. They must be doing good. And that was what their religion was all about. A good show. It was to look good in front of people. And Paul opens this by stating, you've got to get away. You know, that's the problem that they faced. Jesus faced the same problem
In the book of Matthew chapter 23 verses 27 and 28 says, Jesus said, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Do you know people who are all about the show? I mean, if this is a problem that had plagued religion since Jesus Christ Himself walked upon the earth, the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus tells them there, "Guys, you've got it all wrong. You're worried about the pretty outside. I'm worried about what's on the inside." But you know what? Not only was it today a problem in Jesus' day, not only was it a problem in Paul's day, it's alive and well today. Legalism is still alive and well. You say, "Brother Doug, what do you mean?" Well, I'll tell you what I mean. I'm glad you asked. For one, there are those who are so stuck in their ways that they can't even imagine the word change. As a matter of fact, you better watch it. If you mention change around them, they will attack you. I'm talking about those good old folks who think their religion is three songs, offering a message, and let's go home. And the song, if it has been written inside of 200 years ago, can't be scriptural. You know people like this, right? They sit soaking sour and sit on the pew, and "I don't like this and I don't like that. And you know, if it's not Amazing Grace, it's not scriptural." And don't get me wrong, I love Amazing Grace. All right? But you know what I'm talking about? That old mentality where any deviation from the way it's been since they were children absolutely rocks their world. You know people like that? "I don't like it." Well, I want to offer you this. You're a legalist. I love you, but you're a legalist. Why? You're so stuck in the way of doing things that you think that you are accepted by staying in that rut that you're in. Do you ever think that God just might like something new? I mean, think about it, really. Did you ever stop to think that God just might like something different? Say, "Brother Doug, how do you get that?" Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad you asked that too. Psalms chapter 33 and verse 3 says, "Sing unto the Lord." Somebody say that next word. Sing unto Him a new song. You know what the word "new" means in the Hebrew? It means new. It means different. It means never done before. It means fresh. God said, "Sing to me a new song, something fresh, something different." So if you ever come to that point where you're not liking something because it's new and different, you need to get over the legalism aspect or legalism problem that you have. But it's not only the old sit sour and soakers that have a legalism problem. Did you know there are a lot of legalists in modern worship? Yeah, there are. I call them the show crowd. The show crowd. With the show crowd, it's all about the production. When they go to church, it's lights, action, and camera mentality. It is a performance. The folks come to see a show, and the performers come to give them one. You know what I'm talking about there. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't do our very best that we do unto the Lord. If we're going to worship, we should rehearse that worship. We should put our heart into that worship. But we got to make sure that worship is pointed heavenward, not outward. When it's pointed outward, it's a legalistic mentality. And I'll tell you what, when it all becomes about the performance, what happens is, and I was reading this article somewhere, I don't even remember where, but I thought, man, what a point. And the guy said, a lot of worship services have come to the point today where they have a band and it is so good that people come and they enjoy the band and the band does an outstanding job. The band could be on the stage in Nashville, Tennessee. And then But the problem is when you look out in the congregation that it's just people sitting there listening to the band. There is a problem with that. You know why? Because the band doesn't just come to worship. We all come to worship. Oh, for the day when it wasn't about, I can't carry a tune, or it wasn't about how I sound to other people. Oh, for the day when we just open our mouths, point our hearts heavenward and say, glory to God, because you're worthy. You know? I mean, we can get legalistic in the old ways. We can get legalistic in the new ways. But see, here's the problem. We have a misconception. You know what the great misconception is that leads to our legalism? The great misconception is that God loves what I love. And God hates what I hate. Now I want you to think about that. Chew on that just a minute and it'll go down. It'll digest in just a moment. God loves what I love. And God hates what I hate. You see, that's why we can stand up, well, I don't like that kind of music. Well, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, I don't like that kind of Bible study. Well, it don't matter what you like. It's not about you. You see, God's not supposed to like what we like and hate what we hate. It's supposed to be the other way around. We're supposed to like what God likes or love what God loves and hate what God hates. You see, that's what I think it was the Apostle Paul that wrote. We have the mind of Christ, not Christ has the mind of us. You know? That has to be our desire. That has to be our goal of worship. Otherwise, it's just a show. Second thing, it's the sacrifice. Oh, we're going to get to the meat of the message right here. We're going to talk about our real glory. The reason we have a reason to worship. Paul said, may I never boast in anything except the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. I love that, don't you? You see, in Paul's day, the problem was there were people that would say, oh, look what we've done. Look what we've accomplished. Look at all the followers we have. Paul said, it's not about me. It's about my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the bottom line is we just need to fall back in love with Jesus again. Simple message, Jesus. Simple answer to the problem of society, Jesus. Simple focus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he said, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, for the day when it's once again all about Jesus. Oh, for the day when our point of boasting, our point of glory is Jesus. Paul also said in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 12, or verse, there we go. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You know, Paul never said, look what I've done. Paul never said, look at me. You know what he said? He said, look at Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you know how to brag? I wasn't very good at it, but a couple weeks ago I had a grandbaby. I have gotten good at it. I want to tell you, she's the sweetest thing, the lovingest thing, and you better not ask me to show you a picture because I've got 400 of them. And Lord willing, I'm going to go get some more here really, really soon. You know what? How often do we brag on Jesus? How often do people ask you, how you doing? And you say, I'm all right. Or you say, I'm doing good. But when's the last time you say, man, let me tell you, God has blessed me. Jesus has provided in my life. You know, I mean, think about it. How much of a conversation is Jesus? We talk about how we love Him. We talk about how we cherish Him and we want to live a pleasing life. But is He an integral part of our daily life where if we get half a chance, half an opportunity, we're going to tell somebody how great our Jesus is? I mean, it's all about Him. And I began this message with a statement. Jesus is the answer to every problem that you have in this life. It's all about Jesus. Do you realize that were it not for Jesus, we wouldn't even be here today? We wouldn't have a reason to meet. Do you realize that it's Jesus that carried that cross to that hill called Mount Calvary? Do you realize that it was Jesus who allowed His hands and His feet to be nailed to that cross? When He could have called legions, 10,000s of angels, He could have summoned from heaven and put a stop to it. But He didn't. Do you realize it was Jesus that hung there in agony? Do you realize it was Jesus that bore the crown of thorns? Do you realize it was Jesus that took the mocking? Do you realize it was Jesus that when He had paid completely for my sin, for every transgression that I've ever committed, it was Jesus that said, "It is finished." Doug Hambrick's sin is now paid for. Do you realize that's what He did for you? You know, I look back at the things I've bragged about from time to time, and I feel pretty small when I look at how little I've bragged on my Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus is our glory. It's not about keeping a set of rules. It's not about singing a particular style of music. It's about the life-changing message of Jesus Christ, because the cross does indeed change lives. You see, no longer am I trying to meet some religious standard. No longer do I have to work to impress people or to impress my God. No longer do I conform to other people's opinions about what I should or should not be, because it's all about Jesus. And it's Jesus that makes me righteous. It's Jesus that takes His righteousness and lays it upon me and takes my sin and my shortcomings away. Isaiah 53:5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. And beloved, if you have never been healed by Jesus Christ, if your life, if you are not a child of God, you need to take care of that today. You don't need religion. You don't need a set of rules to live by. You need a Savior that'll deliver you from hell. That's your need. That's what we're about. That's why Paul said in verse 15, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." If you've not been born again, you're missing it. You're missing it. Oh, beloved, the glory of who we are, the glory of our liberty is Jesus Christ. Then finally, let's talk about scars. Let's talk about the scars of our glory. Paul said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." He said, "Trouble me no more. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Do you realize what he was saying there? What he was saying, Paul was literally a scarred man. I can imagine, you know, this may be a man thing. I don't know. Well, I'm sure it is. You know, women probably try to cover scars. Men like to show them off. You know, I got this back when I jumped from a 20-foot cliff into Greer's Ferry Lake. Onto a rock, hit a rock. I remember that day, you know, and we brag about stuff like that. The thing that comes to mind is, why'd you jump? But I want you to pay particular attention to what Paul says about, "I bear in my body the marks or the scars of the Lord Jesus." You know, Paul paid the price. Paul, if you sat down with him, he could have said, "Do you see this big old scar on the side of my face? I got that when I was stoned for the Lord Jesus. Do you see this scar or these multiple scars on my back? I got that when I was whipped with a cat of nine tails 39 times. Do you see this scar on my arm? I got that when I was snake bit. You see this other scar? I got that when I was shipwrecked." He could have gone down a laundry list of scars. What can we learn from that? Listen, when you start living in liberty, you can expect to be attacked. When you start bucking the religious system, you can expect somebody to throw stones. May not always be easy, but beloved, I'll tell you what, you want joy of Jesus. Quit trying to keep the rules and start living for His glory. You mean, Doug, I can do anything I want to do? Oh, no, sir. No, sir. When you realize all that Jesus has done for you, you're going to realize how much you want to do for the Savior that gave His all for you. And you may have scars. You probably will. No, I can guarantee you, you're going to be scarred. You're going to be scarred. But I offer you this. Scars are a badge of honor. You know what? You know, we look at men such as war heroes who have earned the Congressional Medal of Honor. We say, wow. Say, wow. I want to ask you this. Living in your liberty with the goal of glorifying your Jesus, what price have you paid? What price have you paid? I'll tell you what the price a lot of people pay is, well, they hurt my feelings, so I'm never going there again. Well, they don't like me. Well, I tried that. I tried to serve, and nobody would help me. And we go, you know what? A bunch of whiny babies. Amen? I mean, we whine and complain because things don't always go smooth and fall into place. Oh, no. You know what the apostles, when they were beaten for preaching, and they were told, don't you preach in the name of Jesus anymore. You know what they said? They counted themselves honored to suffer reproach for the cause of Christ. Don't come to this mentality today where religion is just supposed to be all easy, touchy-feely, and we all hold hands. No. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. You'll pay a price. But I'm going to tell you something. The glory is when you can lay down at night. When you can lay down at night. Knowing that your life has honored the Savior that gave His all for you. The glory is when you can lay down at night with peace. Honor the scars. Or don't run from the scars. They're a badge of honor. And the second other thing I want to tell you about scars. Respect the scars. Respect the scars. You see, there are people around us who are scarred. And the reason they're scarred is they've spent a lifetime of pouring out their heart in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of the young people look at the older people and say, oh, they're old-fashioned and out of touch. I want to tell you, don't be young and silly. Those folks have forgotten more than you probably ever know. The scars that they've earned through the years because of their faithfulness, honor them. Honor them. There's a church called Victory Baptist Church because through the years there are people who have dedicated themselves to the cause of Christ. Respect the scars. Number two, rejoice in the scars. Thank God. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, just stop and say, Lord, this is not fun, but I thank You that I have the opportunity to be persecuted for Your honor and for Your glory. And then finally, no regrets. Paul, nowhere in his ministry ever said, I wish I hadn't given my life to the Lord. Never. Never. I wish that I hadn't dedicated all that time to the church at Corinth. And boy, they didn't appreciate what I did. And Paul never... No. Paul had no regrets. Listen, if Jesus is the answer, and He is, and our life is about the liberty, having the liberty of choosing to glorify God through our lives, do it.
Be faithful. Live a God-honoring life. And then when you look back, there will be no regrets. There will be no regrets. You know, I've been at the bedside of, I don't know how many people as they left this life. And I've never heard anyone, not the first one, say, "Boy, I just regret I gave so much time to Jesus." You know what I've heard? I've heard people say, "Oh, I regret I didn't spend enough time with my family. I regret I didn't bring my children to church. I regret I didn't serve the Lord. I had the opportunity to be in ministry, and I regret." You know, I've heard a laundry list, but I've never heard somebody say, "I regret serving the Lord." Why? Because there are no regrets in serving Jesus. It's worth it. It's worth it. Now, I want to ask you, are you a child of God? If not, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Can you go back to that point in your life where you gave Jesus Christ your life? Can you? If you can't, you're not saved. I tell you with a loving heart, folks, but there, salvation occurs. It is a conscious decision where you commit yourself to Jesus Christ, where you choose Jesus. It's described in John chapter 3. Jesus, dealing with Nicodemus, said, "You must be born again." Have you been born again? If not, I want to invite you to come in this invitation. Have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? Have you made public your faith? If not, I want to invite you to come. Have you bore the scars proudly? Or have you backed off and quit? Maybe time for rededication. Maybe time for church membership. Maybe the Lord's been leading you to this church and you've been praying and He's showing you this is where you need to serve. Well, come make the commitment if that's what God wants you to do. Here's my challenge. We're coming to the invitation. Take the liberty to respond to Jesus Christ in this invitation. Okay? Take the liberty to respond to Jesus. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for this opportunity to proclaim your word today. And thank you, Lord, for each one of these individuals who have come and joined us in worship and in Bible study. And I pray now, Lord, you'll just deal with our hearts. You know our sins. You know our failures, our shortcomings. You know, Lord, what we need. You know. So, Lord, we look to you for conviction. We look to you for guidance. We look to you for strength. We look to you for everything. And, Lord, now we pray your will be done in each life in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.